Hello and welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast where I forget to shut my window every week. Hold on. The window has been shut. How are you guys doing? It's the first episode to be recorded in 2024. I'm excited to be back. It's been what feels like a month since I've actually like sat down and done an entire episode from tip to tip. What's new? What's going on? How has 2024 been for you? 2024 is the year of the mustache. I'm calling it now. Not even just saying for myself, I'm saying for everybody. I have a feeling it is going to be the year of the mustache. I plan on keeping mine for the entire year. These are bold words. Someone's going to get a screenshot of me in like May being like, yo, what happened to the mustache? Beards are acceptable still. They will always be acceptable. But I have a feeling, unless I go for like a big job interview or something, I have a feeling I will be having a mustache all year long. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for showing up. I have some things to talk about. Firstly, behind me, you'll see a cartoon from the 30s. And I'm putting this here because fuck the Walt Disney Corporation, and because this is now completely legal. I can now play the entirety of Steamboat Willie behind me, and I'm going to be doing it until the cartoon is finished, because, once again, fuck the Walt Disney Corporation. They're evil, they're ruining cinemas by putting Cape constantly into theaters to the point where if it wasn't 2022, it was 2021, 80-something percent of all cinema was, or maybe it was, within the past 5 years, like 80% of all cinema was just Marvel movies, just something dominated by Disney. Now that this is, I can legally do this, and there's nothing behind it, saying that I can't, because it is now within the public domain. I will be taking full advantage of it, and don't be surprised if you see it multiple times after this, because like I said, the Disney Corporation. What you're seeing is transformative. You are not here to watch Steamboat Willie. But behind me is transformative. You're not here to watch Steamboat Willie. You're here to watch Atomic Radio Hour, the podcast. This just happens to be behind me. Also, there's no audio. And the biggest thing about this cartoon when it came out was the audio, was that it was a speaking cartoon. Even though the jazz singer had beaten it, Disney said this was the first cartoon with any sort of speech, and if I remember correctly, because it's been a minute, I haven't edited this episode yet, so I haven't watched this cartoon that's now in the public domain that I can freely use. I think it's just the whistling that Willie, not even Michael Mouse, is currently doing. So this is going to be behind me. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice that I can kind of pop in? Hey, look, covering it. And I'm out. I think it's only like a 7-minute cartoon. It was groundbreaking for its day. It's an important cartoon, I understand. But Disney has done a lot of evil in the sense of lobbying. So music, movies, cartoons, other forms of entertainment just haven't entered the public domain. We haven't seen any sort of public domain entries this bit. I mean, last year we saw, or 2 years ago, I should say at this point, we saw Winnie the Pooh enter. And now everybody's making horror games based on Steamboat Willie. And everyone's making horror movies based on Steamboat Willie and seeing how far they can get. They're not great, but they exist. And we're here in this timeline currently where this is happening. So for the remainder, please enjoy what is behind me. For our second topic, when we talk about entertainment, there's one thing I'd really like to talk about. And it's 2024, the year of the mustache, like I've previously stated. And the Minecraft phase is here. I feel like everybody goes through a Minecraft phase at least once a year, if not maybe a couple times a year. And mine's here. And I didn't go through one last year, and I'm going through one now. It's not the only thing I'm thinking about, but it's very much like I want to play Minecraft. I bought a Realm so I could play with my friends on PC. One of the few games that I think should be played, like have to be played on PC. I have it on 4 different consoles, and I don't play it. Not because it's bad, it just feels better to play it on PC. And with every video game now getting a movie, because we had one of them, and it was Sonic, never forget that Sonic T. Hedgehog was the first video game movie that was successful. the one that showed that others could be successful. We're now getting a slew of them. And it was recently announced on screen next to Steamboat William here. You'll see that there's an article saying that Jack Black is now voicing Steve from Minecraft, which I think is really interesting because it's Jack Black, so instantly everybody's going to see it, and every kid that just saw the Mario movie is going to go see this because funny Bowser, silly Steve. But also, I remember Steve originally being sold as Steve with a question mark, so we never even knew if Steve was his real name. I didn't play the Telltale Minecraft game, so maybe that's like elaborated there, but I know Alex is definitely Alex. So maybe we'll get to see some sort of story, origin story of Steve, and I wonder if he's going to fight the Ender Dragon. I believe in the Telltale game, Patton Oswalt, of all people, was Steve's voice actor. And I kind of think that fits, and I kind of wish it was Patton again, but it's Jack Black, and that man's face practically prints money. So I'm happy to see it. And we're going to keep seeing, we're seeing a God of War TV show. The Last of Us 2 just got greenlit. The Last of Us Part 2, or The Last of Us TV show Season 2, that's going to be broken up into two seasons, just hired the person who's going to play a major character for the second and third season, and also either Neil Druckmann and the other fellow who I can never remember, who also wrote for Chernobyl, and it's killing me, I'm sorry, apparently have pitched a Bill and Frank spinoff, which I'm super behind, so maybe we'll get to see that. And just these things keep popping up. The God of War show. I really think Sly Cooper needs a cartoon. I think Psychonauts needs a cartoon. Like, real talk. I think Psychonauts would really, really work if it was, like, Raz training. And, like say it's a three-season, let's say 40 episodes, and you get to see, and, like, the final is, like, an hour-long special, whatever. You get to see Raz kind of go through the ranks of Psychonaut. Maybe every year he gets a little older, and you get to see what the Aquatos are up to, and you get to see what Sasha, not, like, I think Psychonauts, out of any, if you sat me down, was, like, with gun to face, what is the video game that needs a adaptation of some sort in another medium? Every day of the week, I'm telling you, Psychonauts. Psychonauts works. Psychonauts really, really works. Especially if it's a Monster of the Week type cartoon with some loose continuity that then, like, wraps. Kind of like Adventure Time, but not as long. Psychonauts every day of the week. But Ratchet and Clank would do really well. Ratchet and Clank was a movie. So I think Ratchet and Clank would do really well as a show. But we're gonna keep getting this stuff. And because no new ideas are allowed to exist, we're going to keep getting reiterations of things we already love, and hopefully they're good, because I've enjoyed them quite a bit so far. Just because I feel like I should say this real quick, Bobby Kotick has left Activision, which is a good thing. I don't even know how long I'm going to talk about this, because I really don't have anything to say. As of December 29th, it's been a minute, guys. It's been a minute since I recorded one of these. Since Bobby Kotick has left, is Microsoft going to get, is Activision going to get better? Is Blizzard going to get better? I hope so. Can I say so? I cannot say so. So I just thought it would be a thing to say, because I've loosely covered all the Activision, Microsoft, Blizzard stuff that's going on, and how Bobby Kotick was, like, implicit in the whole Cosby Room thing that Activision had, or Blizzard had going on, or something. He left Activision and probably made a stupid amount of money on the way out. And that's all I really had to say about that. I just feel like it was something I should bring up, so I brought it up. Now, I want to get into this week's lore, and I have a really good one for you. It's something interesting. It's from a DLC that everybody loves. But before I can get into that, I have to thank the Patreon. Because of these names that are on screen as of right now, they continue to help the show get bigger and better, and because of their support, I can continue to grow the show. I have a lot of plans for 2024. I have a lot of travel ideas that I want to do. I have a lot of show ideas I want to do. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be, like, spilling the beans or anything, but I would really like to get back onto a semi-consistent streaming schedule, even if it's one day a week, even if it's 2 days a week, just to do it. Also, routine is good for the brain, and I feel like if I could get into a good one, I've been trying to write. It's the 10th day of the year, and I've still yet to write, but I'd like to start journaling again. There's little things, you know, little things that help the brain go. I'm rambling with these names on screen. These are people that I have to thank that are supporting the show. There's a couple different tiers. Patreon in the description below. Check it out. I have to thank them real quick. At the OG that I have to thank first is the OG Noah. Thank you to Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Danny. Thank you to Danny. After Danny, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you to Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. And after Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. Like I said, in the description below, there are a few tiers that you can go ahead and check out. The one that I recommend to everybody, if you like the show, is the Film Live Before a Studio Audience tier. We get to watch these episodes filmed, recorded live. You become part of the audience. You know, honestly, at that point, because you throw stuff back at me, I would even say you could put that you're like a producer or like something on a resume. They're not going to check. They're not going to check. Just do it. If you're trying to get into the industry, if you're trying to get into entertainment and you're in that tier, just say you are a producer. Go ahead. Have them email me. I'll tell them that you were the best. I'll tell them you got the best coffee. And this one time, a guy came into the studio and he was crying and he had a gun. And he was like, I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to do it. She left. She left. She took the dog, man. How do you do that? It was my dog. I adopted him before I even knew her. And I'm going to be like, whoa. And then person, you, who's emailed, their company's emailing me, I'd be like, walked over there, talked to, like, hands up, like, walked into the gun, wasn't even scared, talked the guy off the edge, and then, like, gave him $20, and then everybody in the studio clapped. It was a beautiful scene, and I'm so, like, it's a thing that I will tell my kids on my deathbed. I will talk about that time that, thank you, I love you. We have to get into this lore. So guys, this is episode 288. That's a lot of eights. It's a lot of episodes. It's a lot. And the eights got me thinking, got me feeling a little randy. And I wanted to check out what in the Fallout universe has had eights in it. So I went on the Fallout wiki where I get all of my lore, and I just put in eight. I put an 88 and I put an 8. And I went to the Patreon and I asked a poll, like I always do, about two different things. So, if you'd like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever, go ahead and give a look-see to the Patreon. There's a link in the description below. Because even at the $1 tier of the Patreon, your voice is heard when it comes time to choose this week's Fallout lore. Two options are put up. You vote. I choose. And then we go over the lore together. This week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring you Dr. 8 from Fallout New Vegas' DLC Old World Blues. Now, Dr. 8 is a character I like because I like audio things. I don't consider myself an audiophile, but I've always been interested in audio. I've always been interested in headphones and microphones and just podcasts and just stuff. So when I hear about a character who's an audio fanatic, acoustician is what I have written down, and the definition is an expert in a branch of physics concerned with the properties of sound. That's what an acoustician is. He's a pre-war acoustician, a doctor at Big Mountain in 2281. Now, I don't talk about this all the time, but when you go on the Fallout wiki, where I get all of my lore, fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will, there is a little, I have it drawn here, let me see if I can show it quick. See it right there? A little face. That's my really bad rendition of what is on the right-hand side on the Fallout wiki. And it shows you the character's face. If they wear a hat, it gives you the option to show it with or without the hat. If there's two different versions of them, like if you look up Madison Lee, it'll show you what she looks like in Fallout 3 versus Fallout 4. And next to Dr. 8, when you go through it, it says his race is Think Tank. And that just made me laugh because I never thought of him as not a human. But technically, he wouldn't be a human. He's a brain of a human in a robot body. So technically, does that change your race? Ghouls technically aren't humans. If I remember correctly, on the wiki, the Fallout wiki, the Nukipedia, if you will, they're referred to as post-necrotic humanoids. Dr. 8's real name is actually never given in game, and you learn through who he is that he has a bit of an obsession. We're going to talk about that later. He has a bit of an obsession with the number 8. He opted to put his brain in a jar to continue his pursuit of scientific knowledge. This is what turns him into a think tank. Now, what is so cool about the entirety of the think tank is their backgrounds, and Dr. 8, surprisingly, has the least amount of background out of any of the think tank scientists. During Father Elijah's visit to the think tank, he reprogrammed his voice module. You can hear about this after you upgrade the sonic emitter, which we'll get into the sonic emitter quest and what have you in just a moment. Now he transmits Robco sound waves static. So when you hear him, he'll just kind of say nonsense in a staticky way. And the subtitles look a bit like when you're trying to hack into a Robco terminal in Fallout 3, New Vegas 4, any of the modern games. I actually have written down, not here, but somewhere in my notes, that he speaks an emoji. The courier can pass a 75 science or a 7 perception check, and he will understand what Dr. 8 is saying. The courier will understand what Dr. 8 is saying, but the subtitles don't change. It's very much like a Scooby-Doo situation, or like a, I kind of think of it as like a Blue's Clues, like, where did he go? That way, like kind of, that's how I kind of got it, or it's always bothered me in cartoons growing up. When an animal would talk, and it, like a squirrel would be like, and then someone would repeat back what they said, that always bothered me, and I don't know why. Like, even as a kid, that bothered me. And that's kind of what the game does. Kind of. So he's involved with three quests, three big quests in Old World Blues. And that's my biggest problem with Old World Blues, is that it just feels so empty to me. It is a DLC that is based so much more on character interaction than it is with story. It has a lot of world building, but it just feels empty because I feel like I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it's a good DLC, but it's not my favorite. Now, the first quest that he's involved with is the main quest called Welcome to the Big Empty, the main quest of Old World Blues, where you're trying to get out. You're trying to find out what's going on with Mobius and Klein and Zero and Dala and the entirety of the think tank. He's part of that main quest line, but he's also part of a quest called On the Same Wavelength. Exhaust all of his dialogue options with the 75 science check to threaten him, or the 7 perception to notice he has a vulnerability and to not take advantage of it. So with the 75 science, you notice it and then you say, I'm going to take advantage of this. You get a couple things out of him, what have you. This will fully upgrade the sonic emitter, this quest line, and get 8 on your side for the end of the game content of the DLC. And also there's Picking Your Brains, which is just the go talk to all the scientists in the think tank. That's really all I have for his background. That's really all I have for his quest. The rest that I have are just notes and fun stuff. Again, that I got off of the Fallout wiki, fallout.fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. Fully upgrading the sonic emitter will please him, as he is an acoustician, and he will give you 100 energy cells. It's implied that he uses the sonic emitter to, masturbate? To just jerk it? Not quite sure how. I tried to find out how. I remember Dr. Dala is very much turned on by a human. I remember this DLC being really horny, and that made me really uncomfortable. Even at like 25 when the first time I played it, because it took me a while to get to this one. I never always made me off put. He warms it up, the sonic emitter, and when you're doing the quest line for the sonic emitter, if you're a female, he'll give you microfusion cells, and if male, 2 cans of cram and 2 duct tape. After the quest, on the same wavelength, the courier can ask 8 what he did with the sonic emitter, and I'm going to read a quote at the end of what is said. Like I said, they speak in emoji, they speak in like the terminal you have to decode thing, but some of his dialogue has been written out, has been translated, and I'm gonna read a bit of that for you, a little bit. There's only like 2 things, but still, that I wrote down that I thought were memorable. But still, daily he can give you microfusion cells and tales of chivalry if you're a female, or La Fantoma if male. If you coyly inquire about his masturbatory habits, asking him how to pass the time, quote, pass the time, unquote, he will gift you the same thing, the books, once again. If you ask him more literally, he'll give you an egg timer. That's funny. His name is 8, which is an infinity symbol propped upwards. So an 8, kind of like an Ouroboros, a snake eating itself. But that, I think that's more of a circle. Every robot performs tasks in loops, and their names represent this. 8, Mobius, Mobius Strip. 0 is a complete circle. His personality, belongings, and even his name are all obsessions with the number 8. There was a Jim Carrey movie about this. Like, I think it was called like the number 13 or something. I never saw it. His studies as an acoustician is in octaves. There's only 7 octaves on a basic 88 key keyboard or piano, but oct, O-C-T. He lives in 108 in Higgs Village. He owns 8 coffee cups, 8 clocks, 8 picture frames, 8 dinner sets, 2 flower beds that have 2 rows of 8 flowers in each row, in each bed. He's very much sounds like a character, and I'm not going to sit here and diagnose anybody. I'm not a doctor. I'm an with a podcast. He very much seems like a character who has some form of OCD, has some form of an obsession with something. And again, not a doctor. His room in the think tank. So there's the Higgs Village, and then there's his room in the think tank. That has 8 clocks, 8 ham radio speakers, and 8 portable radio handsets. Outside of transmitting static, sometimes he can transmit animal sounds like monkeys and eagles, or even faint speech that seems to be humanoid. Some of the static emoji speech, this is what I have, has been translated. When you ask him who he is, he'll say what looks like it needs to be decoded if you're hacking a terminal, but he'll say, "Who am I? I am Dr. 8, audio engineer of this facility." And the courier can ask him, "How did you fire up the sonic emitter when I arrived again?" And this is literally what is written down that has been translated, again, off the Fallout Wiki, the Wikipedia, if you will. A little embarrassed about this, but yes, I creamed hard into your gun. That man creamed hard into my gun. The think tank is an entirely different kind of way of thinking. It's a way of thinking that I don't think anybody I know, any writer that I've ever met, would have thought of something like this. They also appear in Van Buren, but Van Buren doesn't technically exist and isn't technically canon in any sort of capacity, but they did originate from there. It's everything I have on Dr. 8 from Fallout New Vegas's Old World Blues DLC, and I hope you enjoyed, because that is this week's lore. Hey, gang. So, 2 things to talk about before we get out of here. Segment 3 is a little longer than per usual. One thing I want to talk about is a YouTube legend is retiring. And it seems like a lot of YouTubers are retiring, which I think is one of 2 things. YouTube is entirely gonna stop being the thing that we thought it is. Or, it's just the original batch of YouTubers are finally going away. MatPat is retiring. And I gave MatPat a lot of shit, a lot, for a very long time, because he was just making the most outrageous Five Nights at Freddy's videos, and then his Ness from Undertale Sands, which is bonkers, of just an idea to think about, a bunch of other crazy shit that he came up with, a bunch of other crazy shit that just seemed like he was, like, he did a video on, like, Luigi's Bulge, like Mario's brother, Luigi's Bulge, and just, why is that necessary? Like, why did you have to make something like that? But when I watched his goodbye video, I noticed Windigoon had commented, and he said that, like, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't remember what the Windigoon said, but I remember him making a serious point. And if I remember correctly, because I also know that MatPat talks about it a little bit, and the thing is, you couldn't go anywhere on YouTube for the past, like, 13 years without somebody saying a theory and then someone going, "A game theory." So even, I had a friend who went to go see the Five Nights at Freddy's movie with somebody who never watched Game Theory, but watched, like, Film Theory or Food Theory. And when he says in the FNAF movie, that's just a theory, the person didn't say a game theory. They went a film theory. And it's just one of those things that, like the Egyptians believe that you die twice. The first time is when your body physically dies. And the second time is when people stop speaking about you for the last time. And MatPat really has had a grip on YouTube for years. I remember watching something about him that he was like, yeah, every time I've launched a new channel, I've made 3 or 4 videos. So when I announce that the new channel is launched, there's already 3 videos on it. That's genius. Like, that's such a smart move, because it's not just here's a taste. It's here's a taste and then a little extra. See you in a week, sweet cheeks. Like, the dude understood it, and I get it. He said for 13 years he's been doing this, and he's had writers come on and help, and he's had more people come in and help. And he said for the past like 3 years, I believe it was 3 years, he knew that the video was coming, that he was going to make it where he was just not going to be on YouTube anymore. And it seems like this is the time for him. And it's sad to see him go, but it's like Smosh is still making videos. Rhett and Link are still making videos. I don't think Nigahiga is. I'm trying to think of like dudes that were big when YouTube started, like 2010 ass dudes that I remember watching. Like Shane Dawson, I think, is off. Jenna Marbles is off. Jeez. Filthy Frank's been gone for a schminute. But like, It's a thing that I feel like, yeah, and you could sit there and talk about like, oh yeah, he just made garbage, that it was the same thing over and over again. Sure, maybe it was, but what isn't something you like, man? Like, very rarely do you get something that's amazing and is reinventing, is a renaissance property that is reinventing itself constantly. He found a niche and he ran with it. And the dude did well for himself. He did something that is honestly a little inspiring. A story before I go to the next topic. Early on, before Atomic Radio Hour ever existed, when it was Olive and I just hanging out in each other's bedrooms with not much else to do but talk about how much we loved Fallout, we wanted to make a YouTube series called The Lost Holotapes. The Lost Holotapes. I don't know why I felt weird when I said it right then and there. I think I have one of them. I think we made 2 or 3, but I know I have one of them on my computer, and I don't think it's the one I'm about to reference. Plus, I don't really feel comfortable sharing audio of my friend and I from like 8 years ago. This is before I even had a podcast that I tried to do where I was interviewing my friends called Let's Talk About It, where I would ask them a couple of basic questions, and then I would talk about what was going on in their life and what they were afraid of and how they felt about the world and stuff like that. And that kind of happened. I recorded everything, but I didn't edit everything. Before all of that ever happened, we had the Lost Holotape idea. And that's where the Lost Holotape idea from the original beginning of Atomic Radio Hour was, that every week was going to end with a piece of fiction. I'd love to bring it back someday, but I'm fucking exhausted and busy all the time. Nuclear Family, Detective Donald Dixon. We have a third one? We had the idea for a third one, I think, that was like a mutant cooking show, right? So I had all these ideas for things that were writing oriented, that were fiction oriented. And Olive and I wrote one about, I want to say it was Vault-Tec scientist. No, it was people. It had something to do with scientists and had something to do with super mutants. And the entire thing ended on a, that's just a theory. And then it cut into MatPat saying a game theory. Because we were talking about what we thought Fallout 4 might have been. This might have been in like 2014. So we might have still been in high school. This might be a 10-year-old story at this point. And just back then, I was watching MatPat. I know she was watching MatPat. We talked quite a bit about MatPat back in the day, she and I. And just to see him walk away, rightfully so, give the man his flowers, give the man everything he deserves. You either, and I hate this movie, but you either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. So it's kind of cool to see him walk off, and he's doing it his way. So the next part of the podcast is going to be without the green screen, and you're going to see why in a second. So if you'll excuse me, I have to move the camera and drop the green screen effect. Hi, everybody. So this is what it looks like to make a podcast. This looks to make weekly YouTube videos that involve a green screen. This is the green screen, which I've probably dropped a number of times to do a joke. The thing I'm about to show you is going to mess with the green screen, and I can't properly show it off. So if you excuse me, this will do wonders on my graphics card, too, that I don't have to process an hour's worth of green screen, even if it's shorter than an hour still. There's something I'd like to show you. Now, this year, what I've been noticing, the past year, this year, what I've been noticing is so much of being an adult for myself has been like my own EMDR therapy, if I'm using that correctly, if that is the acronym for it. And if you don't know what EMDR is talking to yourself as a younger person, going to certain points of your life and talking to yourself and saying like, hey, buddy, it's going to be okay. Look at all the cool stuff that has happened. Look what happens when you decide to stick around. Things like that. And I've spoken about it ad nauseum. I was a very alone child at 11 years old and found the game Fallout 3, and there was something about it that captured me in such a special way. And what I'm about to show you is something that if you said to me at 11, 12, 13 years old that you would have it, I would have it, you royal, whatever, that I would have it, I would call you a liar. I would think, one, that's the dopest shit I've ever heard of, but I also wouldn't think it was true for a myriad of reasons. So without further ado, I'd like to show you something. Also, before I even show you, I'm sorry, podcast listeners. I know this is like negating why you guys are here, but I'm going to do my best to talk about it as best as I can. So when you start losing a little bit of weight, and I've been working out a bit, it's been like a year and a half, your wardrobe opens up a lot, like a lot. And I'm like, not to brag, not to boast, but I'm like about two, depending on the shirts, depending on the pants, I'm about 2 to 3 to 4 sizes down from what I was. Again, depends on, you know, a large shirt is not a large shirt everywhere, and an XL is not an XL everywhere, and a 2X is not a 2X everywhere. But what I've been getting into lately, because it's trendy, but also because it's better for the environment, has been thrifted clothing. And I went to a vintage shop, and I found this jacket. This is just a regular schmegular biker jacket, right? This is basic black leather. I have a stolen item tag here. On my right arm, I have a replica patch that I had somebody sew on. It's a replica of the patch that the Heaven's Gate cult wore during their exit of Earth. I'm a big fan of those guys. I think they're interesting. But on the back of this jacket is something that floors me that I get to wear this. That this is a piece of my wardrobe. It's a piece of my collection of clothing. It's something that I own, something that I wear, and I will simply just say, tunnel snakes rule. Now, I can't see how this shows up on screen, but if this is working correctly, and I believe it is, I bought this off Etsy. If I can still find the guy, I'll link it below. But this is an exact replica of the Tunnel Snake patch that Butch, Wally Mack, and Paul Hannon all wear on their jackets. I'm going to take the jacket off in a second and show it off a bit more. But this is a jacket that I've always wanted a jacket like this. I've always thought biker jackets are cool. I've always liked the crop design. I've always liked they're a universal sign of cool. They're the Miles Davis of jackets. They're synonymous with everybody, and I think that the history of them is super dope. I love the way they look. This is a very, very rough jacket. It's from the 80s. It's super, like, you know, it's got the nice inside pockets. It's a good jacket, and I have the Tunnel Snake patch on the back, and if you would have told an 11-year-old me that I would have had that, a 12-year-old me that I would have had that, I would have called you a liar. So let me take it off, and I'll show it off a tiny bit more so you can see it. It's not a one-to-one the way it's on my back, and I'm okay with that because that's my own flavor. That's my own kind of panache. That's my own kind of way. So as you can see, just a regular ass jacket, leather jacket, with the tunnel snake on the back. The guy who did it actually did it wrong the first time, and I can see where he did it wrong, but that's my tunnel snake jacket, man. Brought me a lot of pride to wear this, knowing that one, I worked to a body that can fit it, but also the fact that it's probably my favorite faction out of, like, all of Fallout next to, like, the Legion. Probably in the Gunrunners and the Followers, like, those are the top four that I get to wear on my back. And also, let me see if I can schniggity schnag this Johnson quick. When I was playing, and Kyle, if you're watching, I hope you'll appreciate this, my pal, because you were a big part of this as well. I was considering putting this in the jacket because of what this means to me. Lowered the microphone a little bit. When I was playing Fallout D&D a lot, it was five of us, right? It was six of us. The crew, the homies, it was people that I considered at the time to be my best friends. It's where Ron Goulman comes from. It's the birth of one of my favorite OCs, and I know, cringe, Christian, but a character that I made. And Ron, at one point, had met the residents, the dwellers of 101, and he met Butch Deloria. And because Olive knew how much I loved the tunnel snakes, Butch wound up giving me his switchblade. And this isn't a switchblade. It's a straight razor, right? If it wasn't his switchblade, it was a straight razor. Might have been his straight razor. We might have retconned it to a straight razor because Butch does leave the vault to become a barber. This is a straight razor that you put blades in. My barber that I used to see, I bought one from him because I wanted to do my lines. I never did them. This was left in my backpack, and then gum melted, so I have gum residue on it, right? But this sticker that I made probably about 10 years ago is... I probably won't green screen this now that I think about it because of the green on there. This sticker I made 10 years ago was what we called Butch's Tunnel Snake. It was a straight razor that Ron Goulman had in-game that I then made a prop for that I could mess with. I don't think I ever used this thing to even attack anybody. This thing was used to, like, cut things open because I had a little extra utility. I might have gotten rid of my dagger or my knife that, like, every character starts with in any sort of D&D game, and I had this. And this meant so much to me. And I was thinking about putting this in the jacket just to have, not even to remind myself of the good times I had playing Fallout D&D, but just to have to remember what it was like to be 11. And I've never forgot what it feels like to be alone, but to have and feel 11 and be 11 and feel that way and just remember that when you stick through it, like, you get to this point and you get to the point where you're talking about something that you love every single week. And there's other people who love it just as much as you do. And it makes me super happy to know that because of something as silly as this and my love for three silly individuals who are obsessed with, like, 1950s biker culture, because that jacket has never not been cool. The biker jacket has never not been friggin' cool. Because of all that, you get to be here today. I hope you guys have enjoyed the episode. Happy 2024. I have a feeling it's going to be a fantastic year. Like I said, I have so many plans, and I'm just so proud of everybody I know. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. I'm jubilant is a word I would like to use. If you like the intro music, it's by the one and only Shane Ivers. Link in the description to his music, silvermansounds.com/freemusic, as well as... all of his free songs are there. But while you're down there, check out the Patreon. You can watch these episodes get recorded live. Why not check it out? Even at the $1 tier, your voice is heard, all the way up to the $10 tier. I would like you to check out my Twitter, the show's Twitter, also Kyle's Twitter in the description below. The red bubble is down there as well. Guys, I don't have much else to say. I always feel like I'm messing this up. I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for spending this 40, 50 minutes, whatever it is, this week with me. And I'll see you next week. And I love you guys very, very much. Bye, everybody. Be safe.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Goulman
entertainment.